grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So salt is talked about tonight. Salt. Is salt good or bad? In Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 5, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." That's got to be good. Having heard the gospel, you know, the good news that your Savior has come for you. Your Savior has atoned for your sins upon the cross at Calvary. And now eternal life is for you. Now that you know that, our Lord is calling you to do things. And he's giving you an identity, one that is more than a Christian. You are his disciple. Salt is used in Scripture many ways. It has a lot to say about salt, both in the Old Testament and the New. In Leviticus, it's said that you shall season all your grain offerings with salt. Why? Why salt? Well, salt stands for permanence and incorruption. So that when salt is used, it becomes a covenant of salt. And it always signifies an everlasting covenant. You know, a covenant that God has made with you. So with salt being an emblem and a symbol of perpetuity, forever, salt is a symbol of lasting forever. So we use salt as an offering to the Lord. And it would also signify the everlasting relationship between God and his people, you know, us. For everlasting and everlasting, we belong to him, and he everlastingly belongs to us. Salt's added to incense. You ever heard that? Back in the early 70s, you know, in the late 60s and early 70s, we used to burn a lot of incense. It was the thing to do. Well, you could add salt to the incense. Mm-hmm. And it made it richer. It really did. But in Exodus chapter 30, the Lord said to Moses, "Take sweet spices with pure frankincense," which is an incense, used for incense, "of each there shall be an equal part, and make an incense blended as by the perfumer, seasoned with salt, pure and holy." The properties of salt are good, but then the property of salt is bad. Sometimes it's darn right ugly. So in the biblical world, salt's associated with life. And it's associated that way because of its uses as a preservative, a purifying agent, and a seasoning. Many of the symbols that are attached to salt reflect its practical uses. For example, because salt can delay the rotting or decaying process when it's rubbed into meat, it's a symbol of incorruptibility. But you ever heard when somebody takes and rubs salt into a wound? That's not so incorruptible. That darn right hurts. So salt was also a provision. It was a symbol of provision, and eating someone's bread and salt would leave the person eating obligated to that person who was giving it to them. That's from Ezra. There's many other practical uses of salt that have been attested to the ancient world, and these include a purifying agent, as ancient people rubbed babies with salt at birth. And the prophet Elijah used salt to purify a polluted spring of water. It was used for seasoning of food. Job used it. It was used as a fertilizer. There are some instances when in caring for plants and greenery around your house, add a little sodium to your plant. And I'm not crazy about this, but salt can be used as a facilitator in the burning of dung. Bet you couldn't wait to hear that one. So today Jesus says, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. Salt, if it isn't effective at all, it's worthless. It's sometimes used as an agent for smoothing things out, you know, like pumice or sand. But salt has no other purpose if it's lost its saltiness. And there you should take back and remember how I started with, you are the salt of the earth, right? And if salt loses its saltiness, it's of absolutely no use. Before we go much further, let's talk about salt being used in a really bad way, even in Scripture. How God destroyed Sodom, the city of Sodom. In Genesis 19, it says, the sun had risen on the earth when Lot came near Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him, she looked back at the city and she became a pillar of salt. God warned him. Salt was not what you wanted to be at that time, was it? The prophet Jeremiah said, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. You ever seen the Great Salt Lake out west? Barren. Nothing grows there. The Dead Sea. A lot of salt. It's so salty and so full of other minerals, the Dead Sea. You can get into it and you will not sink. You'll stay right on the surface. There's that much salt in it. Nothing grows in the Dead Sea. There are, they say they found deep down some microbes or something, but nothing really lives there. So, salt. In somewhat a poetic way, St. Paul had said, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Salt. Season your words with salt. But if that salt has no effectiveness, if it's lost its saltiness, what would your words be like? Ah, get out of here. Don't know why you just don't shut up or something, you know? You ever heard of an old salty guy? It's the way they talk. Maybe even worse. And the Apostle James recorded that, can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And then I've got a rather lengthy quote here. It's from the Atkins Diet. This just came out. Because they said about the good, the bad, and the ugly about salt, that there's new dietary guidelines came out last week, and as seems to be the case lately, they are causing some confusion. Let's start with salt. The guidelines recommend limiting sodium intake to 2,300 milligrams a day, which amounts to about 1 teaspoon a day. Americans consume far more than this amount. It's true that high sodium intake has been linked to some health problems, including high blood pressure and heart disease. According to a recent study in the New England Journal of Medicine, an estimated sodium intake between 3 grams per day and 6 grams per day was associated with a lower risk of death in cardiovascular events as compared with either a higher or lower estimated level of intake. With that being said, they should go, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 43% of sodium eaten by children comes from some of these very common staples: pizza, bread and rolls, cold cuts, chips, cheese, pasta dishes, and chicken nuggets. In fact, about 75% of sodium intake in our diet comes from processed foods similar to what our kids are eating, which includes salty snack foods, canned and instant soups, processed meats, pickled foods, soy sauce, and even bread, cottage cheese, and some breakfast cereal. Salt. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And he tells us tonight that salt is good. It is indeed good. When God created you, he looked at you and he said, it's good. God said, you are his greatest creation. Yes, it's possible to turn around and walk away from him. That's the only part of the free will business that you can actually have anything to do with. And when you walk away from God, you lose your saltiness. You become of no use. But God made you good. God made you to be his cherished possession. God made you to be his disciples. And God sent his son to live, die, and rise again so that you too can go to heaven. Probably a bit more about salt than you really wanted to know. But know that you're loved by God. You're cherished by God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understandings keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.